Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today's guest is Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. But before we talk to Mark, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And joining us again, coming off the bench for Steve Bono, is Mark Purdy. And Mark, I don't think the 49ers are going to let us talk to you again if they keep playing this way when you're on the podcast. Last week, they lose at Pittsburgh 43-18. This time, it's even worse in Arizona, 47-7. What a disaster. How do you even overcome a loss like that, Mark?
Well, you're a professional. That's what you're paid to do. That's the simplest answer. It's not like you're in high school or college and you got to... I mean, this is what you're paid to do. You got to show up and you got to do better the next week. I hate to be basic, but that's what you do. And try to figure out if there's a way you can fix what's wrong. The problem with the 49ers is I'm not sure what that solution is at this point. I'm not surprised they're 1-2. I'm very surprised the way they've been blown out. I mean, it's really hard. It's really hard in the National Football League to be blown out by halftime 2 weeks in a row. I mean, that almost never happens because teams are usually so – even the worst teams don't get blown out 2 weeks in a row. And we'll see. The Green Bay Packers are not the team you want to play when you're trying to avoid getting blown out again.
No.
But the fact that Green Bay played on Monday night and is coming here, I don't know that the 49ers will win, but – it would be really, really bad if they got blown out again. I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be really, that would really be bad.
Well, you know, they're lacking in so many areas. Like you said, it's hard to point a finger at one spot. I mean, you look at the quote from Jim Tomsula. He said, "We've got to play better defense. We've got to play better offense. We've got to play better special teams. We got to play better everything." That's simplistic, but it is true. How do you even start when you've got so many problems?
Well, I mean, first of all, you figure out what went wrong the last 2 weeks. And, you know, some of that is pretty easy. Colin Kaepernick can't play that way again if they're going to have a shot. And then you break it down in terms of, all right, where did the other teams attack us? How do we at the very least, not have them attack us the same way, make them beat us another way? And you do that by considering the personnel you're using. Maybe you want to make a personnel change. Maybe you can change the scheme. You can emphasize different things like, okay, on kickoff returns, this is not what we're going to do. I mean, it's all just all little details. The real issue here to me is making sure when the team runs onto the field Sunday, the team does not feel it's already beat. And this is where before the season started, Joe, I had written something saying, you know, the real issue with me with all those guys retiring, particularly Justin Smith and certainly Patrick Willis, is that that Jim Tomsula, this is the real first crisis point in his head coaching NFL career, right?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, as long as I've been covering the NFL, and I'll mention again, it's been almost, you know, it's been more than 30 years, players will follow a coach and will believe in the coach and will buy into what he's doing as long as the stuff the coach gives them is working. And that not includes just the head coach, but all the assistant coaches as well. In other words, if what they're telling them to do works in some fashion, then the players are with you. If the X's and O's or even some motivational advice doesn't work, then you got problems. And this is where it would have been really good to have Justin Smith, for example, in that locker room right now saying, hey, look, Tom Sewell's a good guy. I believe in him. I trust him. And you guys should, too. And come on, you know, let's knock off any talk that, you know, we're not going to follow this guy. Because now, Tom Sewell has got to rally the troops and look in that locker room. And where are the guys that believe in him, that have played for him a long time and know that he knows what he's doing? A lot of those guys are gone, right? Patrick Willis and Justin Smith. On the offensive side of the ball, there are some, Joe Staley. But again, Tom Sewell was the defensive line coach. He wasn't the coordinator. He was the defensive line coach. It would be good right now to have some of those guys, that veteran guys that played for him, to you know, stand behind him in the locker room or stand up for him in the locker room. Not saying players aren't doing that, but that's the thing. I mean, if the coach just tell him, okay, if we can do this, we can fix what went wrong. And if the players do exactly that and it still isn't fixed, that's when you've got real big problems. It's as simple as that. Players believe in coaches who give them, I mean, the word I always use is, you know, crap. Give them, you know, the other word for crap, you know. If you give them that and it works, give them the kind of stuff you're giving them works, then they're with you. So this is the big challenge for Tom Sewell this week and his staff, to give the players something that works at least and prevents another blowout. That's their big task.
Well, one statement that doesn't help Tom Sula's cause coming from the other side. I mean, one of the defensive backs who had a pick six, Matthew, he said that their passing game was simplified so much. It was easy for us to anticipate passes, you know, the routes, and get some good breaks on the ball. And when you hear that from the other side, that makes you think, wait a minute, maybe we made a mistake by being too simplified with Cap. What do you think?
Well, the reason they were doing that is because they thought it would work. The reason Jeep Chris, the offensive coordinator, gave them that is because he thought it worked. It did work against Minnesota. Against Minnesota. This is the NFL. There's, you know, 10 guys assigned to break down every piece of video. And so they figured this out, and Pittsburgh threw some stuff at them that bothered them, and Arizona just doubled down on that, apparently. And so this is, again, where the coaches have to, okay, this happens in the NFL. Now, what's the next best thing you can do? I know the people who analyze quarterbacks say Kaepernick has trouble, you know, throwing to the boundaries and all that. Well, then figure out something he can do. I think he can throw to the boundary some passes, but they've got to get some confidence built in that, and they got to design some plays so that those throws become easier for him. By that I mean, you want to clear out some areas so that when he throws to the boundary, maybe he only has to throw so that he has to worry about one defender rather than two or three. There are ways to try it, and then you see if it works, but those guys have got to give the players something new that it works better than they've been doing the last 2 weeks. But these guys will show up, and I think they're paid to do this. But also, playing at home, playing against a good team, you should be up. Playing against a good team that should be a little tired because they played on Monday night. That first quarter is going to be really big.
Let's talk about what Kaepernick did really wrong in this game, and maybe some of what is not his fault, because, I mean, he made some really bad throws. I mean, that one that he's going deep to Torrey Smith, he way underthrew it. He didn't really set his feet. But there are other times where, Mark, it seems like he just doesn't have time. This offensive line isn't great. He's throwing off balance. He's kind of like running for his life half the time. And even I have to question even the route that Vernon Davis ran on one of those interceptions. It didn't look like it was crisp. It looked like Kaepernick threw it out there thinking, okay, he's going to run this way, and he kind of stopped on it a little bit. So I give him a lot of the blame, but I don't know that I give him all of the blame. What do you think?
Well, I think he deserves the blame for getting them behind in the first half by a couple, three touchdowns. After that, I think a lot of things occurred. The offensive line is going to be an issue, particularly that right side. We've said that all along. I think I mentioned last week, you know, talked to a former NFL coach and said that's going to be their big problem. Yeah, but okay, then let's figure out something else. You know, maybe you do want to go back into, you know, his college days and pistols and let him run more. That might loosen up some things in the passing game if there's a real threat of that. I think a lot of Sunday's defeat was on Kaepernick. I really do, and he admitted it himself. But yes, the pass routes have got to be run more precisely. Vernon Davis, you know, I talked to him before the season, Joe, and I really thought he was going to have a big season this year. I think he was hurt all or most of last year. And I'd spoken also to Jeep Christ, who had kind of implied to me that, you know, look for Vernon this year to really snap back in a big way. You know, I don't know if this is a – well, let's just see what happens. By the way, Vernon, I know, wants to win. Let's watch the way Vernon plays Sunday. And that, a lot of times the way players play will tell you if they believe in the coach. I don't know what happened on that pattern Sunday. I was actually covering the Raiders game, but I watched the 49ers game on TV. I have the 49ers game this week. You know, I flip-flop back and forth. But, you know, and incidentally, watching Derek Carr work with Amari Cooper over in Cleveland Sunday was a good example of how two guys really do believe in each other and they believe in what the coaches are giving them, because that was a really terrific connection Sunday. And I guess you could say that Kaepernick had sort of developed something sort of like that with Crabtree, but not to the extent that Carr and Cooper were in the Raiders seem to have done, very, very quickly. And that is what Kaepernick needs also. He needs, I don't want to say, the bailout guy is the wrong term, but kind of somebody he can trust there. And you would think that would probably be Anquan Boldin.
Right.
But we haven't seen it yet. And it's still a small sample size. It's still three games. I don't buy into this, like the whole season's down the drain. I don't know what people were expecting. I was expecting around a 500 season, right? They're still very capable of that.
Oh yeah.
I don't know anybody who's expecting to go to the Super. I don't know. You know. So this kind of stuff happens when you have a 500 season. You have lows. You have highs. This is pretty low, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a receiver, you got to be pretty frustrated, because I do think Boldin is still a go-to guy. In fact, on one of those interceptions, he was open, but the throw came so late that the defensive back had a chance to react. And Torrey Smith, I mean, he's a great weapon, and we saw what he could do in week two. He had the 6 catches, 120 yards, but he didn't have a catch in this game. So, I mean, that's just something. I don't think you're going to win many games if you're not involving him. He's just a great weapon that they picked up. So, I mean, they've got to figure out a way to get the ball to receivers like that, and that's just not the case in that game on Sunday.
Well, Smith may be one of the. This may be tied in with the offensive line. Smith may be one of those guys. You know, his biggest strengths and his best possibilities lie on longer balls. For that, you need to hold off your defensive pass rushers longer. For that, you need a better offensive line. So, there are ways to design plays, though. Remember Hank Stram's moving pocket, where he'd move the quarterback out, and that'd give him more time, give Len Dawson more time out there, kind of on the boundary a little bit to wait for guys to open long. Maybe you do something like that. There are ways to design plays that can still take advantage of this. And yes, the 49ers offense has enough skill tools to make yards. It may come down to that offensive line, though, and then you've got to make sure you get the quick developing plays and draw them up better. Green Bay isn't the most awesome defense in the world. And I would think that I don't think their defense is as good as Arizona's and Pittsburgh's, but let's see what happens. This is why we watch football. You might be surprised.
Well, part of it,
I think we will be. Sunday, I know. You might be.
Well, part of it is just falling behind early like that. I mean, you throw two pick sixes early in the game and then it changes things. You don't have the confidence to throw They ran 13 straight runs at one point. But, I mean, I just think it's different if you can mix it up when it's a nothing-nothing game. And, you know, Hyde actually, I know he didn't have a big 100-yard game, but he had some pretty good runs where he was tough. I mean, he is a guy that runs really hard and is going to be kind of a bully, maybe deliver some punishment. I like that about him. I think he has a chance to have a really good season. You know, you saw what he did in week one.
Well, and for all we're talking, you know, all the negatives we're talking about the offensive line, that left side of the line with Staley and Alex Boone. I mean, they can you can run over that side of the line if you make sure that they don't stack it up against that side, and you have to, you know, get some motion going or whatever. But they should be able to the offensive line should be able to be good enough. So for them to run the ball, but you can't get behind early because people then know you can't run.
Right.
It's this is the intrigue. I mean, see, I accepted at the start of the season they weren't going to go to the Super Bowl and they probably weren't even going to make the playoffs. So
right.
I watch it. I guess as a, in my job, I watch games a little. I'm sure I do watch differently than fans. I just watch it to kind of look at the plot line and see how the story's going. Each game's a chapter in a book. And I thought this book is going to end with a 500 record, and I think it probably a good chance it still will be. But I'm intrigued to see how they get there, and to see if by getting to a 500 record this year, you know, some of these new things that are going on might lead to better things next season. I hate to already be talking about next season, but you know, this podcast is well known to be. You know, futuristic in its approach, is it not? I believe.
Yes, I'd probably say that. And if we are looking,
let's talk about 2016, Joe. What do you think?
Well, you know, on the Giants podcast, we were thinking about that until just recently. They're still alive, but
well, let's talk about 2016 for the 49ers.
Right. I think they're going to definitely. Another thing they're going to have to do is improve the defense, and that is something that is another major concern. I mean, Eric Mangini, his defense gave up 43 last week. And then, you know, this time you got to say two of the touchdowns were on pick sixes. So that's not the defense's fault, but they were giving up some big plays. I mean, that is the goal of the opposing quarterback. We saw it with Big Ben and
saw
it with Palmer.
We call them chunks, don't we?
Yeah.
Chunk plays.
Yeah. I mean, seven completions of 20 plus yards for Palmer. And you could just see he's going, you know what? I'm going down the field. I've got Larry Fitzgerald. He's open. I mean, he's open on all of these throws. They got to figure out something. They can't just leave receivers open like that.
Well, they don't mean to leave receivers open like that.
Nobody's they don't have
trying to do that, but you got to figure out a way to disrupt the timing. That's the big thing. You know, this might be the best quarterback in the league coming in to play him Sunday, depending on how you feel about Tom Brady. You've got to just disrupt timing somehow. Either, you know, you might do it the way the Seahawks do, where you just hold on to every receiver and not realize they can't call it on every play, right? But you got to do something to disrupt the timing so that, you know, at the very least make it a little more difficult for the offense to kind of have these, not just chunk plays, but kind of plays that keep the chains moving and just disrupt the timing. I don't know how those guys are getting as wide open as they are. I have not sat down and looked and broken up the video on that. But the 49ers personnel is not as good defensively as it was last season. That's pretty obvious. But they still have NFL players there that should, you know, be able to do better than they've been doing. Again, it's a short week. You would think that the receivers will not have as much spring in their legs. But of course, James Jones is a South Bay, San Jose guy, and I'm sure he'll be one to come home and have a big game, especially after you know the Raiders kind of dumped him at the end of last year. So,
right.
I don't know. Let's talk about 2016.
Well, you know.
No, I mean, actually, I just don't. I don't think. I think you got to. I think that they're going to lose Sunday, but let's see if they at least turn a little corner in terms of finding ways to make it more difficult for the other team to succeed. I guess that's what we hope for.
If they win somehow and they're 2-2, I mean, and then it gets a little more favorable. They're playing the Giants, even though it's on the road, and the Giants aren't great. The winless Ravens come in. I mean, they haven't won a game. So, I mean, those are some winnable games. All of a sudden, things can turn around. It's amazing how fast things can change.
Well, the schedule was always lined up to be tougher at the start. I mean, look, the Vikings are doing pretty good since they lost that game.
Right.
So the schedule is always tough up front. I think it's just more the optics of this. The optics of this look really bad with the new head coach, and he looked. I mean, it is. I was flying home from Cleveland yesterday, but I saw the video of Tom Sula's presser. He looked like he hadn't slept all night.
Oh my gosh!
And Kaepernick kind of, his body language wasn't great on Sunday, from what I saw on TV. It's just the optics of this look so bad, and of course the scoreboard result. So, no matter what happens Sunday, they can't lose again. They absolutely cannot lose again by three or four touchdowns. That cannot happen. And then, I guess they could still get back to 500 then, but at some point. But with the schedule the way it's lined up, but it would just we really would be talking about 2016 the next time.
Hey, look, they have the same record as the Seahawks right now. So,
well, here's my advice to NFL fans: don't check the standings until about week six or
right.
eight.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, the Raiders are 2-1, and I think they'll end up, winning 7 or 8 games. Forget the standings at this point. You want your team to look like it knows what it's doing, and that there's hope for every there's a reason to watch the next series. That's really what it's about, right? There's a reason to let's watch. Is this team giving me enough so that I want to watch the next offensive series? Going back and watching that game Sunday, I'm sure some fans felt the way I did, which was, I don't even want to see that offense take the field again, at least not today. And let's see what they do next week.
Their offense was a great offense for the Cardinals, basically, early in the game. It was just frustrating for the entire team.
The biggest concern to me, I think, is still Kaepernick and, the fact that he has not developed as much vision as I thought he would at this point in his career in terms of seeing open guys or just knowing. I remember an interview with Drew Brees it was a group kind of thing, maybe at a Super Bowl or something, where he basically was saying, he knew he could see the play develop before he even took the snap.
Wow.
Like he just knew exactly how the play was going to develop, and so he knew exactly which guy was probably going to be open just by, his video study, and then when he came to the line, seeing how the guys were aligned and knowing guys' tendencies, knowing how each guy liked to move, that so before he kind of saw the play before the play happened, and I don't think that's happened with Kaepernick. And
it's a great point.
At this point, you wonder if it will. At this point,
it's a great point because you can't be skittish in the pocket. You have to drop back, know exactly what you're going to do, and that's not what Cap looked like in that game.
No, I mean you have to not know where. What you're gonna, you have to know what everybody else is gonna do,
right?
And how it's a complicated realm. And Kaepernick is a smart guy. I don't know if it's just that this is a flaw in his his skill set, that he just has not been able to pick up the vision that most quarterbacks do after starting this many games. But again, we'll see the rest of the season how this goes. But he should be a little better at that by now.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he'd probably agree.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks so much. I really appreciate you stepping in. Steve Bono will be back next Tuesday.
He will have much smarter things to say than I will about that. But I I'm sure you'll ask him about that next week.
Yeah.
ask him. No. Ask him how quarterbacks develop vision over the years, because that really is. But by year 4 or 5, ask him about that.
Yeah, no, it's a great
question. How was his vision compared to the way it was when he was a rookie? I'm he's a smart guy. I'm sure he'll have a good answer to that.
Yeah, because you definitely want to see progress. Well, I really appreciate you stepping in the last couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you again soon. And We will definitely be looking at all your columns.
I look forward to doing, I've done baseball podcasts with you, now football. I look forward to the hockey podcast.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mark.
All right, be good, Joe.
That's Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. Join us again next Tuesday. Steve Fono will be back, as we said, and we will talk about the 49ers game against the Green Bay Packers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra.